So we'll start in Daf Tesamid Beis. Omar Abaye, which would be about 6 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says that in Bavel, when they started their meal, they would loosen their belts. That was the minhag of the Bnei Bavel. And once you started Yesuda, by being Matir the Chagora, then they would allow you to continue Yesuda, even though it's the time for Tefillah. Omar Abaye, Hani Chavrin Bavloi, our colleagues in Bavel, who would begin their Suda by loosening their belt, Lamandi Omar, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds Tefillas Arvis Rishus, and this is Rabbi Yeshua in Brochos Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, is Kaman de Sharile Hemyone, once he loosened his belt, Lo Matrachinale, we're not going to ask him to stop his Su'udah. Let him finish his Su'udah.
So loosening the belt apparently is significant otherwise.
Right. That's the beginning of the Su'udah. Once you start the Su'udah, you're allowed to continue.
That's what it says, Su'udah.
Right. Ulamandi, I'm according to Rabbi Gamliel in that Masecht over there in Brachos, who says that Tefillas Arvis Chova Matrachinale. Question mark. Is that so? That even though he started his Suda, we're going to have to ask him to stop his Suda to Dab Mairiv. But that doesn't make any sense. For Tefillas Mincha L'Kuli Alma Chova He Usnan, and yet our Mishnah says that in Mischilu Ein Mafsikin. So how much more so in the case of Arvis, which is questionable whether it's a Chova or a Shus. The Omer Abchanino, when is Haskol Sassud Mishi Yater Chagoro? He loosens his belt. And we're not going to ask him to tighten his belt again in Davin. And that's in the case of Tfilas Chova. So how much more so in the case of Arvis, we should say that we're not going to be matriachim to stop his Suda and start davening. So that's the kasha that the Gemara is asking on Abaye. Because Abaye is saying that only according to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds Tefillas Arvis Rishus, then we're going to be Mekel and Lo Matrachinale, implying that according to Rabbi Gamliel, who holds Tefillas Arvis Chova, we would be matriachim. So the Gemara answers this on the top of Daf Yudam and Aleph. Hasam, in the case of Tfilas Mincha, when he began his Su'udah during the daytime, Lo Shchicha Shikrus, Aval Hacha, in the case of Mairev, Shchicha Shikrus. So paradoxically, we're going to be more Machmir in the case of Arvis, and we're going to be Matriachim to stop what he started, stop his Suda in order to Dab Mairev, because there's more of a chash that he won't be able to Dab Mairev properly. But during the day, we're not choshish for shichrus, people don't get drunk during the day, so we allow him to finish his meal and then he can begin his davening. Inami, the Gemara gives now a second answer as to why we're more machmir in Mairiv, if we hold Tefillas Arvis Chova, than we are in Mincha. B'mincha came into Kviel Ezimna. He has a set period of time that he knows when he's going to daven. So it's a very short period of time. Mirsas, he's a Yiri Shemayim, so he's nervous about that. V'lo'asi l'mifshi, he won't extend his Suda too long in such a way that he won't get to Dav Minchba. Arvis came into Kuli Laila. He thinks in his mind he has the whole night. He's not pressured. Kuli Laila Zman Arvis is low mirsis. He's not so anxious about it. V'yasi l'mifsha, and he may come to forget about getting around to Mairiv. He gets involved in his Suda. So therefore, we're more machmir. Maskefle Rav Sheshes Trichusa Lemesar him yone. Well, what's this big tirch over here just to tie his belt, the ode, and furthermore, leku hachivilitzle? Why are we telling him to tighten his belt? And the Gemara answers, Mishum Shenemar, Hikon Lekras Elokech Yisrael. You should prepare yourself before you come to tefillah. And therefore, he shouldn't daven without first tying his belt. The Gemara doesn't even bother answering the first kash. Alright. Now the Gemara wants to bring different minhagim of the Amoraim during tefillah. Rava Barav Huna Rami Puzmoke Umatzle. He would wear a certain kind of minalim, certain kinds of shoes that were considered very choshev, very nice, beautiful shoes. They were made of a certain kind of cloth. Omar, he would say, Hiko Likras Hashem Elkecha Yisrael. One should prepare oneself before he comes to daven in front of Hashem. Rava, his minhag was Shadi, yeah.
Steinzel's comments, Hayalovish Garbayim Yikarim Umispalil.
Okay. Rava Shadi Glimei. Rava would take his cloak off. Because he was trying to manifest humility, so he didn't want to show up with such a fancy cloak. Upachar yidei umatzle, and he would clench his fist and daven, put one hand on top of the other, and this is all what you call ema v'yira. It's all a matter of fear, of awe. Amar, and he would declare, Ki avda kami mori, like an eved, a servant who's speaking in front of his master. It's got to be bi'ema ubi'ira. Omer of Ashi chazinole l'Rav Kahana. I saw Rav Kahana. Chi ika tsara bi'alma. When there was a tsar in the alma, in the world, there's some sort of plague or something. Shadi glime upachar yade matzli. He would take off his fancy cloak. He would tighten his fists and put one hand on top of the other, as a person who's as a servant who's in fear of his master. And that's how he would daven. So it sounds like the difference between Rava and Ravashi. They both had the same custom. It's just that Rava, it would seem, was in general, that's how he davened on any day, whereas Rav Ashi only when there was a tsar in the world.
I think the fist is apparently significant.
Yeah, to put one hand on top of the other, that's humility. Omar ki avda kamimar ki ika shloma, but if there was peace in the world, Lovish umiskase, he would put on his cloak and he would daven misatef, and he would cover his head umatzle. He says here misatef betaliso, and he would daven. Omer, he would declare, Hikon lekras elokecha Yisrael. So he says the following in the footnote, quoting here the Ein Elio, that in Masechta Brachos, it says, Ein omdu lispal el mitoch kovid rosh. But there's another statement in the Gemara, Ein omdu lispal el mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. And a third statement, Ein omdu lispal el mitoch halacha psuka. Rava Barav Huna hold that you should stand in front of Hashem lispal mitoch simcha, and therefore Rava Barav Huna would put on his most lavish, most outstanding shoes. Rava, on the other hand, held that you should be lispal mitoch kovid rush, therefore he took off his fancy cloak. Rav Ashi holds yesh lispal mitoch halacha psuka, and therefore they bring from Rav Kahana that B'shas Shalom, when it was peace in the world, he would wear his glima chashuv b'shas tsar poshet osa. I'm not sure where you see him, Rav Ashi, anything to do with halacha psuka. That's not clear to me. The Rama writes in Perkei Milchus Tefila, Yesh laniach yodov al libo kfusin. So he's got his tight, he closes his fist and he puts his hands on his heart. The right hand on top of the left hand. And the Kesef Mishnah points out that the Rama doesn't distinguish between a period of time in which there's tsar ba'olam, there's war, as opposed to a period of time where peace is in the world. In general, this is the posture that's appropriate for tefillah, yodav alibo kfusim. The Rambam understood that when Rav Kahane here differentiates between eis tzar and eis shalom, that's only as far as levush is concerned, about what clothing you should wear. Eis tzar, hishle klimasa, eis shalom, lavash klimasa. But li'olav, hoyapocher es yodav. He would put one hand on top of the other over his heart. That's the way the Kesef Mishnah understood the Rambam. Achabach docha pirush there. The Bach rejects this because the Gemara doesn't seem to indicate that. He explains that the Rambam is coming to tell us how a person should daven during a peace period of time. And that's what he writes. The Rambam writes that laniach yodav al libo, that was the minhag makom. When a person came to speak to the king, that's how they appeared in front of the king. And that which Rav Kahane says, that only be a tsar pocher es yodov, that's something else. That's called shehoyechovek etzba osov, ka'odam amitztayer me'emes rabba. That's not the Rambam's case, because that's at an eis tsara. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Rava Chazil Rav Hemnuna de Kamarech Bitzlose. So Rava noticed that Rav Hemnuna was davening for a long time. Omar, lengthy davening, right? Rava says, Meinichim Chay Olam, you're leaving out eternal life. V'oskim b'chay Shah, for the sake of finite life, for this world. So what's Chai Olam? Chai Olam is Torah. And Torah is Kayemes Gamli Olam Haba. The Torah is, when we say, in the Pasuk says, Ki Hu Chayecha, referring to Torah, Chayecha is Olam HaZeh, Orech Yomecha is Olam Haba. And Tefillah, on the other hand, is Chai Olam, because we ask for health, and we ask for peace, and we ask for sustenance. All these things are connected to Olam Hazeh. So Zakashia that he brings in the name of the Achronim, that most of our brachas during tefillah are dedicated to Chai Olam. We're not just asking for Chai Shav. Like, for example, he says, we talk about Atachoni Lonav Das, maybe that's the ability to learn Torah. Hashimeinu Avinu Sar Sechov certainly is Torah. Maybe he was Marech in those dimensions of Tefillah, which have to do with Chai Olam. Why does it say that he was Osik B'Chai Shah? So he says the following, that in Brachos Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, it says, HaMarech B'Tefillah So Marichin Lo Yomav Ushnosov, which means that as a reward for Arichas HaTfilah, Marichin Lo Yomav Ushnosov Bolam HaZeh. So Rava turns to Rav Hemnuna and he says, Yesh Luspal Rak Al Mashetiknu Anshe Knes HaGdola V'lola Harich Yoser V'afshe B'schar Arichas HaTfilah Marichin Lo Yomav Ushnosov Ketzad Meneches HaTorah Sheschor L'Yom Abba V'osik v'tefila sheschar ba'olam hazeh. I guess he's saying that based on the Gemara in Brachos, we can derive the conclusion that a person is ma'arich b'tefila is ma'arich lo yom mushnosov. And that's b'olam hazeh. So that's what Rav Hamnuna was trying to accomplish, that goal of ma'arich b'tefila is ma'arich lo yom mushnosov b'olam hazeh. So Rav said to Rav Hamnuna that he should be mispalel whatever Chazal said, you know, without being marach, because even though marich lo shama is the arichas atvila, he's going to be bring him arichas yom shnosav, but he's involved in schar olam hazeh when he could be involved in schar olam haba. It's better to dedicate himself to the schar of olam haba, which is Torah, rather than the schar of olam hazeh, which is tefila. The Gemara says, what did Rav Hamnuna himself think? Tefillah l'chud, zman tefillah l'chud, zman Torah l'chud. You don't have to steal one from the other. When it, you know, you have your time period that you're dedicating to the study to tefillah, and that's fine. Whatever you need to fulfill and reach the maximum in that mitzvah, that's what you do, and then you're ready for Torah. So he quotes here Chassam Sofer that the Rambam holds that mitzvah tefillah is doraisa, and the Ramban holds that mitzvah tefillah is only derabbanan. And according to the Ramban, the only time mitzvah tefillah is doraisa is when it's eis tzara. So he says that Rav Hamnuna holds like the sheet of the Rambam that there's a mitzvah seven atar l'spal b'chol yom, and therefore zman tefillah l'chud, zman Torah l'chud. Rav, on the other hand, accepted the Ramban Shita, that there's no chiyuv d'orais of tefillah except for eis tzara. If a person feels that he doesn't have enough mizonos, or he needs health, and so forth and so on, that's called an eis tzara, and he's chayim in tefillah midoraisa. But since Talmidei Chachamim are not considered, they don't consider themselves as if they have tzar in this world, I guess it means they take the right attitude towards tzar. So therefore, that which is mitzvah kol yom mispalakach nechshav kmeiniach olam ha'olam va'osik b'chai shor. Because if Rava holds that the only chiv d'oraisa of tefillah is b'eis tzara, so for a talmid chacham he should not consider it as if it's an eis tzara. Therefore, his chiv tefillah is on derabbanan, and he has to do what he has to do and fulfill the requirement of tefillah, but he should not be stealing away time from Limud Torah, which is clearly a doraisa. Then he quotes the Sfas Emes, who writes that Ein hakavana l'tefilos kvuos. It can't be that this whole sugya with Rava and Rav Hamnuna is referring to the tefilos kvuos, because the Gemara says in Brachas that Hasidim Rishonim would wait an hour before tefillah, an hour after tefillah, an hour tefillah, and that's one thing. So that's already tefilos kvuos. Those were the Hasidim. The Gemara actually asks what's going to happen with their Torah. The Gemara says Torosan Mishtameres. So therefore, says the Sfas Emes, that what we're talking about here is that he would be mispalel Rav Hamnuna on a tzorach mesuyam shahayelo the herich bazeh. So it's not about the tefilos kvuos. And Rav Hamnuna said that zman tefil l'chud, even though he's davening for something that is tzorach mesuyam, as we said, some need that came up at that time. Nevertheless, that's all included under Zman Tefillah. Therefore, when he's in that Zman Tefillah and he's involved in that mitzvah, he doesn't have to be nervous about Torah. Right now, he's fulfilling his obligation of Tefillah. Here's another maisa that the Gemara tells us. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Havi Yosef, Kami Rabbi Zera, Vayu'oski B'Shmaita. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting at the footsteps of, at the feet of Rabbi Zera, and they were learning a sugya. Negatz litzuye, and they delayed their davening because they were so involved in learning. Baba Kamas Harev, Misarhev, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah was trying to rush it up so that they could daven. So Reb Zeri got upset about this. You know, you're rushing towards tefillah. What about Torah? Kari Ali Reb Zeri. Reb Zeri quoted a pasuk in Mishlei. Meisir azno mishma Torah gav tefilaso toeva. Wow, this is a very heavy rebuke. He's saying that he was meisir azno from Torah because he wants to daven like you do. Is tefilaso toeva? He wasn't really yotze in the midst of tefillah. And all this is a person who could have been learning Torah, he could have been listening to the Torah, but he wants the daven. But nevertheless, that's tefillah so toeva. And it would seem that that he's not machshiv. He points out here in the footnote that when it says in the pasuk meser ozno mishma Torah, it sounds like he's saying Sheinu Machshiv Divrei Azuas. I'm not sure what he means by Sheinu Machshiv Divrei Hazuas. It says Meser Ozno Nishma Torah. I don't know what he means Machshiv Divrei Azuas. Maybe somebody is telling him Torah and he's not interested in hearing that person's Torah. So Hashem says, I'm not interested in hearing your tefillah. Now, later on, we're going to learn on Daf Yud Aleph that this is only applicable to Misha Toroso Umnoso, Kigon, Rabbi Shimbar Yochai V'Chavero. They would not be mafsik from their limud for davening. But our situation is that we're not in that category of Toroso Umnoso, therefore we're mafsik our limud for the purpose of tefillah. So therefore, we want to understand exactly why Reb Zera came down so harshly on Reb Yirmiyah. Apparently, Reb Yirmiyah held that he wasn't in the Madrig of Torah Sumnaso, and therefore he has to terminate his Torah for the sake of Tefillah. And he writes the following: Yesh Levarsh Reb Zera Savarsh Reb Yirmiyah Torah Sumnaso. Reb Zera had no doubt about the fact that Reb Yirmiyah fits into the category of Torah Sumnaso. And therefore, Einu Tzarech LaHafsik Limudo. Or alternative, he says, it wasn't yet Zman Tefillah, there was still time for Zman Tefillah, and therefore Rabbah felt that they could continue learning until the Sof Zman. They still time for Tefillah. And a lot of this is explained in Tosfos Divrei Maaseh Kegon Anu. Now, he says the following, that the Sfasema says that Rabbi Yirmiyah was mafsik b'limud because he didn't hold himself to be Torah Sumnasa. And he quotes here in the footnote a tshuva from Moshe Feinstein that according to Rabbi Zera, ha-mafsik b'limudah k'delis pal nech sheves tfilosa toeva. Wow. He stops his learning in order to daven, and whenever we see the phrase tfilosa toeva, we mean that he's got to repeat his davening. He wasn't yotze. It's tarech lachzav l'spa.
Wow.
Very heavy. He compares it to the Russian Rabbi Yonah. If a person's mispalel in a place where he has to stop because it's soa or the like, then it says to you also teva if he continues davening. And he has to daven again. Now the Mishnah says that once the Dayanim began the din, the process of din, that's Chilas Ad-Din, then they continue and they'll daven later. Meimasai Aschalas Ad-Din. We have two answers to this question. Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yonah, Chad Amar Mishis Atfu HaDayanim V'Talisam Sheposkim Ad-Din. So they put the talis over the head, and that's when they begin the din. V'chad omar, another opinion is mishi yiftechu bali dinim. When the litigants begin putting forth their arguments, v'lo pligi, says the Gemara, there's no machlok between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yonah, but rather ha di aske v'asu b'dinim, v'hadlo aske v'asu b'dinim. If we're talking about the beginning of the litigants, that kicks off the time. That's the asku, that's a case where the dayanim were osek bedin, and they already had their talisim on. They did one din. Now the bali dinim come in for another din. So the judges are already in a state of Mishiyas Atvu B'Talisam, and now the Tchilas HaDin for this new din is when the Bali didn't put forth their arguments. But the one who says Mishiyas Atvu D'Lasku V'Asadina, this is the first din of the day, the first judgment of the day, and their judgment, the involvement in judgment begins with Ituf B'Talis. Now I'm going to talk about the chashivus of din ladu dini Torah. Rabbi Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Haviyasvi, Vigarsi, Beni Amude. These two great Amoraim were sitting and learning between the Amudim up in the Beis Medrash, and perhaps they were leaning on these pillars. V'chol shaita v'shaita avitavchi ha'ibra didosha v'yamri. Every hour or so, they would knock on, bang on the door and say, "Iika de isle dina leil velese." If somebody has a din, now's the time to come in and judge and be judged. He says, "Here nogu came mishum sheberetz Yisrael heimayu dayonim kvuim." These two, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, were the judges, and it seems here that even though they were learning Torah, but nevertheless, aduf ladu din. It's more important and pressing for them to judge others rather than being osek b'Torah. So it sounds like, at one level, they mevatel their Talmud Torah for the sake of din. Well, truth is, that's not a chiddush, because it's poshut that somebody who has a chiyuv lishpot es bein ish l'reyehu Lahatzil Oshuk Miyad Oshko, certainly that's the whole purpose of Limud Torah. But the chiddush here is that Tofchu al Briach Adeles, you know, they banged on the door, Ubikshu Shiavo Bali Din Lifneim, and they really were Limavakish, they were actively seeking out people who would need judgment. Velochiku, they didn't wait until the Bali Din themselves would take the initiative. So it seems that din, that judgment, is adif mi Talmud Torah. That's the Chasam Sofer. Rav Chisda v'Rabba Barav Huna Haviyasvi b'dina kule yoma. They were sitting and judging the entire day. Havika cholish libayu. They got hungry. They were weak. Tanulahu, Rav Chia Barav Rabbi Difti. So Rav Chia taught them a braisa. You don't have to sit in judgment the entire day. It says in the Pasuk, in Parashas Yisro, it says, Vayamod ha'am al Moshe, min ha'boker ad ha'orev, v'chital al dat v'shem Moshe yoshev v'don kol ha'yom kulo v'torosem ha'nases. If Moshe, if you take this Pasuk straightforward, he was busy within the day and night, when we have time to learn, to study the Torah? And he was in charge of Mesiris HaTorah. Now you could say that he was also Ketorah B'Laila, because there's no din in Laila, and he would be Mekayim what it says, V'Yigisa B'Yomam V'Laila. But the Gemara wants to know, it says, V'Yigisa B'Yomam V'Laila. So during the daytime, you also have to be Heger B'Torah. So when was he Heger B'Torah during the day? Ella, but rather, what does the Pasuk indicate here? It doesn't mean that he was Dan Klal Yisrael the entire day, Min HaBoker to Arav Lomar. This means Lomar L'Chosha Kol Dayan Shedon Din Emes Lamito Afil Sha'ach Asmal Lov HaKosu Ki Hu Nasa Shutu V'Kosh Baruch Hu B'Maisim Reishis. So that if he's dedicated to judge truly in an honest way, and even if it's only 1 hour a day, the Torah considers as if he's a partner in the creation of the world. Holu Baruch Hashem Baruch Hasaolam Lios Kayim V'Hashoyim Gozlim V'Chomsim Machrivim Osa V'Maseim, like the Dor Mabul, and this is all because of theft. So the Dayan, his goal is to be Meshaber Zroos Hashoyim and Loket V'Yodim Teref Machziro L'Baleim V'Yidei Zem Kayim Hasaolam. And how do we know this? Here it says in Parashas Yisro, it says Vayamod al Moshe min haboker arav k'siv hasam vayer vayvoki yom echad. So this price is telling us that you don't have to sit the entire day in judgment in order to be considered that you fulfilled your obligation. Your obligation is to be dan din emes. You have to make yourself available for din emes. So we have erev avoker with regard to din emes, and we have erev avoker with regard to breishis. And for this, we're going to learn that a dayan who's dan din amito emes lamito is as if he was a partner in the creation of the world. Okay, so that's what we have with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's interesting that it means that Rav Chiya said to Rav Chisda Rabbi, you don't have to dedicate yourself the whole day to din. Admosa Yoshvim Bidin, what is the daily schedule of a dayan? Amar Rav Sheshes Adzman Su'uda. Now the suit, we're going to have zman suda for different people, different groups, and members of Klal Yisrael. But as far as Talmidei Chachamim is concerned, we're talking about Shah Shishis, which I guess would be like 11 a.m. And they're busy with learning Torah. And the Dayanim now are also sitting until that point, and then they have to go eat. That's according to this first opinion of Rav Sheshes. Now we have a second opinion on Rav Chama. He's explaining the source. I'm sorry for Rav Sheshes. Mikra, the Chassid, it says in Kohelis, Ilacha, Ilach Eretz Shemalakech Nar V'Sarayach Baboker Yochelu, which means the following: Oilacha Eretz Shemalkecha v'dayanecha, your king and your judges, misnagim binarus, they behave like children, immature, v'eino mesim eliba l'tikun ha-medina. They don't take upon themselves the responsibility to do what the state needs. And as a result, the sarim, these officers in the king's court, they wake up in the morning and they're busy eating. And then the pasuk continues and says, "Ashrecha eretz shemalkech ben chorin v'sarayach ba'es yochelu." How fortunate is the land whose king is the son of grapes, anshei shem, people of reputation, because a king like that will act maturely, and therefore his officers also will not eat, early in the morning. They'll wait till the esa ochel, and while before they get to eating, they're busy judging the people. Bigvura velobish si, bigvura shel Torah velobish si shel yayin. So they're not dedicating their morning to drink wine, but rather dedicating themselves to gvura. Gvura means the gvura shel Torah, the gvura of chachma. So libam tamid lasos mishpat v'tzedim eino oskim v'shisiyah shal yayin. Ton Rabbanu, we learned in a braisa, shari shon of the first hour of the day, machal ludim. So this is some sort of nation called the ludim. They were cannibals, apparently. They were very hungry people. So they would open up the day right at the beginning of the day, and they were eating. Shnia, the second hour of the day, is machal listim. These are gazlonim, who are always on the run. And also, they're up during the night, busy stealing, and then they get very hungry in the morning. They sleep for an hour, and then they eat. Shlish is the third hour of the day, is machal yorsh, and these are the rich people who inherit a bundle of money. They don't have to worry about malacha. So as soon as they get a chance, shlish is they're already eating their banquet. Sharavias, machal pol. So those who are working by the Baal Bayis, they eat their meal shah-revius, and shah-chamish is machal kol odom. And most people will eat, let's say about 10 o'clock, 10 to 11, that's morning breakfast. Now, the poalim, it says, ha-ovdim eitzel balabayis, Hapolim, he says, Amarvichim Momon, Machina Ocha B'shach Hamishis, Hu Marviach, Sha'osit Tzroch of Kodim. So I guess he's busy with his some of his work earlier, so he doesn't have time to eat. He delays his main breakfast meal until Shach HaMishis. The Gemara now asks the Kasha, Amy, is this really so? For Omar of Papa, where Papa says that Revius is man sudal choladim, not HaMishis the way we said it in the Braisa. So how do we reconcile Rav Papa with the Braisa? And HaMishis machal polim, right, we had Revius machal polim in the Braisa. And then he's got Shishis Machal Talmidei Chachamim and Mikan V'Elech. But afterwards, in other words, if you eat in the sixth hour, it's Kizorik Evan Lechemas. It's like you have a jar of wine, and it's mostly filled, but there's still some airspace in it. So in order to fill it up, it's not going to be Moilo. In other words, if he's going to add a stone or something, that's not going to fill it up. He's got to fill it up with wine. So it's a mushal that somebody who eats after the sixth hour, it's not going to be beneficial for him. It's not healthy for him. So I'm not sure exactly where the teretz is to this kasha. Let's see, Omar Abaye. Abaye says a person eats from the sixth hour and on. Kizorik Evan Lechem. Aslam Moran. If he hadn't tasted at least something in the morning, less lon bo, then it won't be unhealthy. So I'm not exactly sure if the Gemara here reconciles the Braisa with Rav Papa. That I'm not sure. Let's just see. No. I don't see the reconciliation.
Apparently, the way you explained us, read it, it's all about the shashishis.
Right? That shashishis?
Long time midday, or tom midday, that's all about shashishis. If you eat something earlier, fine, but not.
Oh, you're talking about the Zorek Evan Lechemas? Well, what do you think?
That's right. Other words,
but I'm just trying to, figure out when. When is the time for most people to eat? When is the time for Poland to eat? When is the time for Talmidei Chacham to eat? So if you look at the Braisa, you get the impression that the Poland eat in the fourth hour. Just one second. I'm sorry. You get the part the rich people eat in the fourth hour, the Poland eat in the fifth hour, just one second. Machal Polim is the Revius is for the Polim and the Chamishis is for Kol Adam. And Rav Papa seems to say that on the Kacha, Revius is the Kol Adam. Here's the answer. I'm sorry. Elo says the Gemara, Revius Machal Kol Adam. Okay, so Revius is Machal Kol Adam. Chamishis is Machal Polim. I think based on Rav Papa, what the Gemara is trying to do is sort of switch it around in the Braisa. And what it means is that the regular people who are not so busy working for their employer, then they could eat earlier than the Polim. So that's going to be the sequence is that the Kol Adam comes before the Polim. So if we switch that around, then we're fine. And then the Gemara adds that the Shishis is Machal Talmidei Chachamim, and after that it's already not so healthy. So it seems to me that when the Gemara says Ella, the Ella is a refurbishing of the Braisa. That's the impression I get.
Otherwise, you don't have an answer to
To defend the defender of Pop. Okay, then? So we'll stop here on Daf Yudam and Aleph. And we're up to Omer of Adabarav, which is about, I'd say, about 15 lines up from the bottom of the Omer.